Welcome to Extraordinary People.
We're here to celebrate everyday people who are on a mission to change the world however they can. From working with survivors of domestic violence to building awareness of mental health issues, our guests each have their own unique approach to addressing challenges close to their heart, making life better. Today, I'm talking to Ruth Rogers. Ruth is the founder of The Canvas Cafe, a cafe and creative venue in East London that hosts workshops, live arts events, and ongoing debates. Ruth, hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. For our listeners, could you explain the whole concept behind The Canvas Cafe?
Yes, absolutely. So our tagline is The Canvas are spaces for hope and a base camp for change. And our overarching mission is that we unite people with space and support to solve local problems and improve life for everyone around us. But as I'm sure every one of you is thinking, what does that actually mean? So in real life, that means that we've got our base is just off Brick Lane in East London. We have a vegan cafe, a community hub, and a creative space. And each one of those things is designed to offer customers and beneficiaries chances to make their own lives better and make other people's lives better as well. Our vegan cafe, first of all, is vegan because we know, everyone knows, that a vegan diet is the most powerful step that anyone can take to reduce their carbon footprint, help animal welfare, and improve their health. Now, we're not suggesting that you have to be vegan to come to our cafe, not at all. But we say that even if you choose a vegan lunch or a vegan breakfast once a week, you're doing something that's a positive step. That's why we're a vegan cafe. Inside the cafe, we have a pay it forward board that enables customers to donate hot food and hot drinks to our local homeless community. And we have a community of people who use us every single day for vital food and drinks, but also for friendship. Our community hub is a space that we gift for the launch and growth of new ideas that would improve other people's lives. We've hosted free mental health drop-in groups for young people. We've hosted free drama classes for shy children, free yoga classes, free meditation classes, all run for free by people in our community. And I believe we're going to be talking about our creative space later, Sarah. So I will leave that as a little mystery. We're a bit of an octopus business. You need to come down and see us to really understand it. Our website goes a good way of explaining it as well. You need to see these spaces, and there's some lovely pictures online.
So what inspired your mission?
So I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur. I've always seen my paid jobs as sort of something that got in the way from my various side hustles. And when I was an actress in my 20s, I also, as a side hustle, was launching a positive body image movement called Body Gossip. The idea around Body Gossip is that we collect stories from real people about their bodies, and then we turn them into live theatre shows. And the idea is that people get to share their story about their body to an anonymous voice. And then we empower those stories and we showcase them. We used to get famous actors and actresses to perform them. And it was what I did from 2006 until 2013 when I had the idea for The Canvas. But the idea for The Canvas is very much born in Body Gossip. Because in 2006, when I wanted to get the idea of Body Gossip out there, if I'd have been the daughter of someone famous, I would have just rung up a tabloid newspaper and been placed on the front page. You know, it was a popular topic back then, but I was nobody. So how do you get people writing stories about their bodies? Well, I took my white living room sofa to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and to Clothes Show Live and to the Alternative Fashion Week and loads of places where I knew I'd see lots of passers-by, and I invited passers-by to write one sentence about their body on the sofa. Now, I must admit, it was a PR gimmick, if I'm completely honest. But what I saw was that people were more honest with that sofa than they were to their friends and family. They were writing things on that sofa that their friends and family were seeing and saying, I didn't know you felt that way. I did not know you thought that. And sometimes people were actually more honest with the sofa than they were with themselves. And it gave me an idea for a space that was that canvas. And so I had an idea that you could create a space where there were questions on the walls, and that these questions could be quite broad, but that they would all be about humanity and kindness and compassion and memories. And our cafe has them. From the very beginning, when I opened in 2014, the canvas walls have had questions on them. And the questions are things like, tell us about your grandparents, name a book you couldn't put down, what recipes remind you of your childhood, these sorts of things that everyone can answer. And what it does is it creates a space that feels like it belongs to everyone. And when I started the canvas, that was kind of the concept I started with, and I knew I wanted to grow it in different ways, but the growth of it has been really organic. Once we opened, we just became a magnet for change makers and positivity pioneers who I think were drawn into this vibe of this space is yours. And that's what created the community hub, and that's what created the Pay It Forward board and the other community projects that we do.
Do you still have that sofa?
That is such a good question. And I don't have it anymore because I've got all the covers, but we used to have it in the cafe. But actually, it just got too dirty, if I'm completely honest. Like, people were sitting on it, things were spilt on it. And actually, the practicalities of having that sofa with so many precious bits of writing on it, I had to take it away. But I've got the covers. It was an IKEA Clipan sofa. So you could take the covers off. So I've got 7 covers that have got all this writing on. They're amazing. One day I'll have to have an exhibition, won't I, so that everyone can come and read them.
Totally. How it all started.
Yeah.
So you've built a very strong relationship with Gilbert and George. I mean, they're part of the British art establishment, right? Famous for their distinctive bright coloured photo collages. Can you explain a bit more about it, the whole double helpings initiative?
Yes, so Double Helpings with the Canvas Cafe is a project that we run with Gilbert and George. They're our neighbours. They live about 2 minutes away from the canvas, and I'd seen them walk past, and at least one of them had come in for a cup of tea. The project, now that it's out there, is gorgeous. It's dinner plates with Gilbert and George's designs on them. Gilbert and George have very generously gifted us some designs that we print onto dinner plates. They're made up in Stoke, in the heart of the Potteries area of the UK. And the sale of each plate enables the canvas to create 14 meals to give out for free to our local community. And we have made connections with lots of volunteer groups, with churches, with schools all over the area of Tower Hamlets. And we deliver these meals. We delivered them a lot in the pandemic because the project had just launched when the pandemic hit, really. And we've now got 4 different designs out available to buy. And they're stunning, really beautiful plates.
Do you have a favourite design?
I do, actually. There's one called Rosie. And it's this beautiful rose, but the colours are just so vibrant. They're just beautiful.
Are they all available to buy online now?
Yes, you can go to the shop. The link is doublehelpings.shop.
Brilliant. How did the collaboration come about?
I knocked on their door, which was possibly the scariest thing I have ever done. But the reason I knocked on their door is because, and isn't it funny how these things come about? We were delivering large numbers of hot meals at the Crisis Skylight Centre. And we were working in partnership with local businesses to enable that. And I went to do a talk at Wyden and Kennedy, who are a fantastic advertising agency, also our local neighbours. And one of their creative directors came up to me and said, I love what you're doing. I think the canvas is great. There's loads of potential. Can we talk about running some projects? And from that discussion, we came up with the idea to try and get Gilbert and George on board. So it was very much designed by an incredible woman called Ray Shaughnessy, who used to be a creative director at Wideland Kennedy and is now one of the 2 executive creative directors at McCann London. So both those advertising agencies have been absolutely integral, because I think without their backing, I never would have had the guts to knock on Gilbert and George's door. You've got to have that, the validation, I think, of this larger organisation standing behind you going, go on, go on.
So you talked about how Double Helpings has been really successful and how you've been doing lots of work with the Crisis Skylight Centre. What kind of numbers has Double Helpings helped you deliver? What impact have you made?
So on average, we've sent out 200 meals a week. We were slightly disappointed that we weren't able to do as much during the pandemic as we wanted to do initially. We had some staff members who we didn't feel comfortable asking them to come in. They didn't feel comfortable traveling when the pandemic was right at the beginning. But as soon as we could, we reopened our kitchen and we started sending the meals out. We then renovated our kitchen so that we could triple the number that we can send out. And we had kitchens opening up, people donating their kitchens to us across London so that we could keep making the meals. And we've worked with organisations such as the Women's Inclusive Team, St Luke's Church in Millwall, One Housing Association, and we are going to start providing, on top of those 200 meals that we send out regularly, 100 meals a day to the Whitechapel Mission. Whitechapel Mission serve about 1,000 people every single day. So I wish we could make a bigger dent into that 1,000, but 100 meals going out to them every single day, funded by the Double Helpings Project, will be starting soon.
That's just amazing. Your purpose is to unite people with space and support to solve local problems and make life better for everyone around you. What kind of problems is your direct community facing, and how are you helping to tackle those?
So we're in an incredibly interesting and diverse community. We are just off Brick Lane. So you have historically Bangladeshi communities who've lived there for a long time. There are women in those communities who are really wanting to get employment and have training. And we've actually started to create free courses that we're going to be running, enabling those women to get pathways into employment. There's a lot of poverty and homelessness in the area. We directly impact that with our Pay It Forward board and the free meals that we send out, as I've been explaining. But it's also a very busy area. It's got a lot of people who are isolated due to either poverty or also because of the pandemic. The community hub that we have, that's our gift to our community, it's already starting to sort of gear up again after you know, the world has been opening up. But the free groups and events that we run there specifically around mental health really help to tackle that. The reason that I say to the community, this is a gift, this space is given to you as a gift, but you have to then gift the events in return, is that there's no barrier to access. So if someone wants to run a free mindfulness course or a drop-in group for mental health support, it has to be offered free so that every single person in that community is able to attend. There's also, I believe, in the area, lots of people wanting to make a direct impact, but not really knowing where and how. I don't know if you feel this too, but there are so many problems, and a lot of us have time, but we don't know where to put it. So the Community Hub is a great example of that. People come to me and say, I'm a trained yoga instructor. I really want to offer yoga classes for people who can't normally afford them. Can you offer me space? And we say, yes, of course we can. And then suddenly there's a weekly yoga class that anyone can attend completely free of charge. And we know how much yoga impacts people's mental health and well-being in a positive way. The canvas also creates a feeling of community by banishing any ideas of them and us. And in an area like Shoreditch and Spitalfields, there is a lot of feelings of, well, this is us, this is them. And because of the writing on the walls and because of our inclusive environment, I hope we're creating a vibe that has ripples a lot wider than just 42 Hanbury Street. I hope that people can come to the canvas, and then when they leave, they will feel like they've got the option to join a community, and they've also got that warmth and compassion towards humans that they might not have had before their visit.
You also work with Redemption Roasters Coffee. Do you actively seek out suppliers who share your value purpose?
Yes, we absolutely do. Redemption Roasters are amazing. They train and employ, they train prisoners in HMP The Mount to roast coffee, and then they provide pathways after they have been released from prison to try and reduce reoffending. Their coffee is also amazing, but we have one of our guidelines in our sort of in our rules is that we try and make sure that our suppliers are social enterprises and local. So if they can be both, how wonderful. So other examples are Nemi Teas, who provide our loose leaf teas. They provide training and employment for refugees. We work with Lemonade, so Lemonade with an AID at the end. They create funding and projects in the communities around the world where their main ingredients come from. So they've enabled some fantastic things around the world. It's just important to us that we don't just stock, you know, we don't just go, oh, what, you know, how can we make the biggest margin? That's just no way to do business. If you're thinking about a kinder economy, I'm a big fan of Mary Portis, who's doing a lot of work on this. And if you're interested in the donut economics, then we should absolutely be looking at ways to support social businesses. And you know, if we help businesses like that to thrive, then the world gets to be a better place.
Which leads us nicely on to the next question. As a social business, obviously you need to generate enough income to keep going and keep doing your great work. So how can people who are listening support you?
So that's a lovely question to ask. Thank you. If you live in London, come and visit us. We are just off Brick Lane, 42 Hanbury Street. Look for the yellow sign. You can come and you can buy something for yourself. Everything we offer on our menu is homemade and made on site. Even, and I'm so proud of this, we make our own mayonnaise. We make our vegan mayonnaise. We make our own vegan cream cheese. If we can make it on site, we do. But also, you don't have to buy something for yourself. You can pay forward for someone else. What I like about this is that, most people buy coffee. If you buy one for us, your micro purchase goes to support a much larger ecosystem. If you also live in London, why don't you come to an event in the community hub or run an event in the community hub? If you don't live in London, then you can head to our shop, doublehelpings.shop. If you're feeling like you'd like to own a gorgeous piece of art that gives back, you could buy a Double Helpings plate. But there are also vouchers where you can online, you can pay forward for people to eat and drink in the cafe who might not be able to afford it.
As you quite rightly said earlier, I was going to ask you some more about your event space. What got me was the description, your secret underground event space. Can you tell us more about that?
No, it's a secret. Yes, of course I can. It's our creative space. It's our basement space. So when you come into the cafe, you would be forgiven for thinking that that's it. But if you go through the yellow corridor, you will find our garden and community hub. And then if you go down into our teal corridor, you will find our creative space. And it has hosted live performances from music nights, live theatre, open mic, spoken word, comedy, to film screenings, networking events, parties, panel discussions. It's very multifunctional. And the idea behind it is that it's a platform for positive social change events. We partner with some larger organizations such as the Happy Startup School. We've been the London home of the Yes Tribe. Action for Happiness have run events in there. And the aim is that it's this platform for a program of events to inspire and enable people to collaborate and co-create for a better world.
Sounds like yellow is a key color for you.
Yes, it really is. It very much is. That when I was deciding right at the beginning, when I knew nothing about branding and how to build a business, the one thing I knew was that yellow was going to be the colour of the canvas. It's very optimistic and hopeful.
Do you think COVID has changed the way communities come together?
Yes, I do.
I think it's changed people's thoughts around how they shop and where they shop. I think people are actively seeking out more local, more social, more ethical options. People realize that, you know, I think people have a greater understanding of their purchasing power. I've spoken to so many people who, you know, of course the pandemic was devastating, and yet there have been lots of opportunities that have come from it, in that it provided people an opportunity to stop and potentially relaunch, rejig, and we certainly did, and I think other organizations have as well. And it's enabled people to say, what were we doing that wasn't really working for us and for others? I think there's a shift in the way that we are all viewing how we spend our time as well. And this is something that I must admit, I've been wrong. I thought people would be dashing out to spend time in person. And while a lot of people have, there hasn't been the sort of the charge to run the events that we host. I think there have been a lot of the people who were running regular events in our community hub who've moved to online, and they've not yet come offline, and I hope they will come offline. I'm not suggesting that we should go back to the old ways. I think you know, video calling and you know, Zoom and Google Meet, etc., are actually really great ways that you can connect with people, but I hope that we will go back to seeing people face to face, because I think it's the best way to connect to people.
I agree. So for Canvas Cafe, do you have any plans for growth?
Very much so. I would love to see a Canvas in all the major cities in the UK, but with each one feeling very, very specific to the city that they are growing in. I like to see that the Canvas is soil. It's soil for the growth and launch and incubation of good ideas, and it has roots into its local community. Each city or each area will have similar problems around, let's say, homelessness and poverty, mental health and isolation, but there will be specific problems to each area. And I like to think that each Canvas in each city will connect to its local area. So if you go to the Canvas in Bristol, for example, it will use, you know, local Bristol suppliers, and it will connect with local Bristol charities and other NGOs and social enterprises. It will feel very much like the Canvas Bristol, whereas the Canvas Leeds, for example, will feel very much connected to its community in Leeds.
What do you think that would look like? How will you grow to another city? Would you lead that?
So when I started the Canvas in 2014, I had absolutely no clue about what I was doing. I'd been an actress and puppeteer for 12 years. My body gossip, I was definitely a campaigner, but I did not know how to run a business. And I'm 7 years in, and I have to say, full disclosure, I am still trying to create a prototype that I can replicate. And it's much harder than it sounds to create systems and processes so that something works like clockwork. It works without, you know, me needing to be in there. That's what I'm currently doing with the Canvas at 42 Hanbury Street. And the plan is that then when we've got that prototype, we can then replicate it. I would like to lead that initially. I'd love for there to be one in South London, and I'd love for there to be one in Brighton, and for those to be my next two steps. I feel like I could do that. And then beyond then, who knows? I imagine we would need to be, you know, possibly collaborating with more people, certainly looking for, you know, a much bigger team. But I also think that it you know, people do it. You look at all the brands that have replicated, and I think that the Canvas has got so much heart and so much purpose that it absolutely deserves to grow. So And it's just about, you know, who wants to come on that journey to make it happen.
And what advice would you give to a person or business who wanted to be able to do something similar to you or give back to the world like you're doing?
That's such a nice question. I'm going to answer the end first. So if someone wants to give back, then without sounding like I'm kind of just talking about the same thing over and over again. If you live in London, come and use our community hub. Honestly, it's a beautiful space. We offer it as a gift so that you can give back and run events and run talks and run free lovely things. If you don't live in London, I would suggest, you know, look online for other social enterprises or organizations that might enable you to do something similar. Everyone has a skill. Everyone can offer their time to volunteer to bring a new project or event to life. So that's something that you could do without kind of creating your own business from scratch. But if you want to do something like I'm doing, I really would recommend you read a book called The E-Myth by Michael E. Gerber. He's an American entrepreneur. And the reason I'm urging you to read this book is that it sets out what you really need to start doing from the beginning to create a structure around the thing that you're creating. Otherwise, you will be in it. You won't be able to step out of it. And it talks about being in a business versus working on a business. And really, for a business to thrive and grow, the entrepreneur needs to be working on it and not in it. So that's a book I would really highly recommend for anyone listening to this, actually wanting to start something like The Canvas.
That's a great tip. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for your time, Ruth. It's been great chatting with you. I'm sure all our listeners have learned an awful lot from your story. And to everybody out there, please tune in to our next podcast, Extraordinary People.